The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
He's out!
It's like my move, that's my position. It's just amazing when it finally pays off.
Andrei Petrovski!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Fans, a few weeks back, we did something unprecedented here on UFC Unfiltered. We gave you the power to pick a guest for today's show. Via our partner, Socios, you have voted and the results are in. The fan selection for today's guest was by a wide margin, not even close second, is our pal and close friend of the show, Megan O'Leary. Check out the Socios app and Socios on Twitter for more UFC fun. Here we are on Unfiltered. Megan, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I mean, I'm always thrilled to be with you guys, but the fact that I won some sort of contest to be here is even cooler, I guess.
Yeah,
I,
they don't tell us anything either. They just said Megan's on the show, which is always nice when somebody wins a contest who actually likes us. I'm happy that you won.
Right. No, me too. I also didn't know about the contest. So this is a very exciting time for all of us.
They just told you that you were a winner?
Yeah. Yep.
I just say that makes three of us, but... I'm happy. All I know is it could have been delivered a little bit. No, Jimmy, you did it well, but all I know is by a very wide margin, all our other friends are going to be like, you know what?
Oh, right. Well, I was just reading the copy. Hold on. Let me see. Did I exaggerate?
We love everybody. I don't think you exaggerated. I just think we have a friend. Well, listen, we have Megan. We have Joe as a friend, her husband. Don't we can lose some friends.
No, but the bottom line is this, Megan crushed them all. Let's be truthful. We have a lot of friends, but it wasn't even close. It was a destruction. I was trying to be polite by saying wide margin.
You know, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, dominance sometimes has to reign, and that's what I did.
It really did. This was you were basically the Cowboys of the early 90s, the Lakers of the 80s. Kamaru Usman now. Yeah, you crushed everybody. So welcome back. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And I told you, every time I watch you on television, I will. Every time you're on, I'm going to tell you, I am stunned by your ability to, A, your timing is so good, and B, your ability to never do what I do wrong, which is, like you just know exactly what you're going to say. You're really a good broadcaster.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Honestly, a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to say. I just feel like if I fake it, and I pretend to have confidence, then it just comes across the screen a little bit easier. We had, you know, this past show had a few crazy technical things that were going on. And sometimes you just got to roll with it, right? Because like we can't control it. So the best we can do is just go with the flow.
Now you said crazy technical things. You mean problems with cameras or sound or something?
Yeah. I mean, our audio, for some reason, we had a lot of issues. It was an overnight load in. So that means like we didn't have the full, you know, 48 or 36 hours to really prepare for stuff. Guys showed up to the arena at 1 a.m. and then at 2:30 p.m. we were live with fights. And so sometimes, right, you know, things can just get a little more challenging in those positions. So we had a lot of different audio issues, and then there were some graphic issues that went on, but everybody just tries their best. And when we see that, you know, when you're the one on the screen or you're the one whose voice that people are hearing, you just kind of have to go with whatever you're seeing and then try to make it as easy for the viewer as possible.
Maybe I'm thinking of another fight. There was one, and they make very few mistakes that I ever noticed, but there was one where the wrong fighter was up, but I don't remember if that was this week or if it was last week, but I see it so infrequently.
Yeah, no, our team is, they're like almost perfect. But I think sometimes every once in a while, there's just so much going on. Literal wires get crossed that it's when there is a mistake, it stands out more because we don't often make them.
Well, listen, we're going to talk about the fights for sure. We're going to review that. Are you still doing your podcast?
Becoming a Fighter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
No. I figured that's what you're asking about. Yes. Yeah. Antonio and I, you're a very talented producer. We're actually just talking about the next episode, which we're hoping to record soon before you guys jumped on here. So fingers crossed, there'll be a new episode soon. If I had it my way, we'd be doing like one per week, but it's a big project and it takes a lot of hands on deck. So hopefully, fingers crossed, a new one coming soon.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Jimmy. Antonio's your producer?
Yes.
Oh, how's your notes?
Wait, he's your producer? Or?
Yeah, Antonio and Matt are the show's producers.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, don't you dare shit on our good friend Antonio. We love Antonio.
I just didn't know what you were saying. So you're trying to get somebody together now?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, can I tell you guys, let me have a couple minutes. Can I talk about my weekend? Do you mind?
Sure.
It was such a great weekend. Can I tell you?
Please.
Can I freaking tell you? The espresso's kicking in. First of all, Jimmy, I did not get a congratulations on my wife's victory.
Well, I wanted to wait until you announced it.
Fucking fuck. My wife had her second amateur kickboxing match in Brooklyn over the weekend, and she fucking did amazing. She won her fight first. I forgot the girl's name. GV something or other. What a sweet girl. Girl from Queens. My wife's 38. She fought a 24-year-old girl from Queens. A tough girl. And she won. You know, I was there. My
That's nice.
My daughters were there. My family was there. Longo was there. It was great. It was such a great time. I'm not going to talk about it too. It was just me and you, Jimmy. Megan, thank God you're on the show, because I'm not going to cry in front of you.
You were proud, though. Listen, Matt, you were proud.
Jimmy, you got the shit. Because if it was just me and you, it'd probably come proud. Out. So I'm really happy we have a guest. Because I have to be like that scene in Jumanji with The Rock when he's like,
"Well, can we ask you if it was a decision?"
I think about my wife, I get emotional. But let me.
Was it a decision?
It was a decision, but man, the girl was a ballsy girl, man. She was very, her chin was coming up a little, but she was just going after my wife, just going after. And my wife was getting measured, doing uppercuts, and it's amazing to see. Because if you ever met my wife, which you have, Jimmy, she's a very sweet,
very nice
sweet
lady.
Person.
How nervous were you, Matt?
I was okay.
But watching her succeed like that, like you were happy because you know the feeling she's getting to have after winning.
Yes. And then, you know, to see her doing from going from just a hobby to lose weight between having our three girls to taking it seriously to falling in love with it. Next thing you know, she wants to try out a fight. She had a fight a couple of years ago and she won. And that was in Manhattan at Combat at the Capitol. Then this other event. You know, came up, same promoter, Lou Neglia. Good. I used to fight for this guy back in the 90s, bro. You know?
So you're very proud. Yeah, it's nice. You're really proud of her.
I'm proud. Listen, it was great. I mean, because my daughters, they've been to my Hall of Fame thing. They've seen me fight on like, you know, but they never seen me fight live. Besides, you don't count that drunk in Vegas. They never, besides that, they never seen me fight
so
live.
They get to see her fight, yeah.
They see Ann, Mrs. Terra. Sarah fight, and it was fucking awesome, dude. It was really awesome. So I'm very, very proud of her.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that, Jimmy and Megan. So I wanted to just brag about her a little bit. Because I mean, what a wild.
You know, as you should.
You know, it's wild. So, you know, it was great. And then to cap it off to make almost the perfect weekend, you know. Well, first of all, we went to L&B's.
Well, Matt, I have a question for you. Did you know, was that like, did you sense that she was going to get the decision, or was it like, was it a split decision, or did you kind of say, no, she's got this?
I'm sorry. No, it was 30. It was 30-27 on all card.
Yes.
So she won. But it's funny because she's like, and you know, it was a slugfest. Longo talked about it on his Longo Minute on the Anakin and Florian podcast, you know, and he called her a warrior because it was a slugfest the first two rounds because the girl was very ballsy. What a sweet girl. But she was going after her. And so my wife was, it was like a slugfest. So it was, you know, but then that last round, she started really getting measured. And I love that. I told her this.
What'd you tell her?
You guys, listen, we saw Dr. Strange the next day, which is fucking great.
Yeah. But what did you say to her though? Did you give her advice?
I told her that It was very impressive how, listen, she made corrections between the second and third round. She listened. She got more measured. And it's just wild to see, man. You know, she got more measured. She started, she laid the two left hooks in a row. She kicked around with the leg kick. It was just so wild to see. So it was very good, very emotional. And it was a very good night for the
Yeah.
Series. So congrats to her.
Matt's a very sweet man when he talks about his family.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
He's a nice man.
Anyway, guys, we got fights to talk about. But also, can I just throw, I don't want to do a movie minute really quick, but I wanted to say, are you a Sam Raimi fan? Because you were in the first Spider-Man.
Unfortunately, I am, but I never met Sam. I was all second unit my shoot. So I wish I had met him. I never got to meet him.
Are you a Sam Raimi fan? Are you familiar with Sam Raimi?
Did he do the Evil Dead?
He did the Evil Dead series. He did the first first three Spider-Man movies. He did Evil Dead.
I love Bruce Campbell too, yeah.
Well, and he's like a horror movie guy, but he did in the Spider-Man series. Well, he did this movie, Doctor Strange and Something of Madness. Something of Madness. Doctor Strange movie. But I'll tell you, it was like a horror movie. Oh, it was violent. Scarlet Witch, one of my French, killing motherfuckers. Killing them, Jimmy. Oh, my goodness. And it was very dark. It was a hard PG-13, Jimmy. It sounds corny, but for a comic book movie, violent, like a horror movie. I was surprised Disney had the balls to do it like this.
Do I need to see the first one in order to enjoy this one?
Yeah, if you've seen the WandaVision series, if you did that, that's for everybody. But Jimmy's like, it's better, but no, you don't need to see it. It's such a good movie. That's all. Megan, this is how we do it. I just babble.
Love it. This feels like I'm at home, to be honest with you. So I'm right in the mix. This is totally fine.
How's Joe, speaking of being at home?
He's doing great. He is outside with Benny right now. Yes, it's like 100 degrees in Las Vegas already. So
when you walk your dog, this is just weird, but I seen something the other day. I gotta tell you about a clip I seen of a guy in Queens, something going, a lady pick up the dog shit with her hand. It was a chihuahua. She's like, it's a chihuahua. He's like, I don't give a shit what it is. Pick up your dog shit.
Yeah, no, that's
literally
gross.
Literally with her hand, picked it
that's
up.
That's gross.
That is gross. Do you guys carry a pooper scooper?
No, we have biodegradable bags. So
are they the ones you put your hand through one, you pick it up and then you pull your hand through so you don't get it on your hands?
Yep.
You do that. I couldn't either.
My dog's 10 pounds, so it's really not a big deal. If it was a big dog,
oh, right.
Yeah,
especially
gross.
If you're a St. Bernard, right. You bring a shovel.
Yeah. Right, yeah, totally different thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's the easiest way to do it. I used to walk around back in the fucking 80s when I was walking Geronimo and Queenie around the block. I had a pooper scooper. That used like a fucking claw.
No. But also, like, Las Vegas is great. My neighborhood is great. They provide bags like every block.
Oh, nice.
So there is no excuse to be a bad neighbor.
Oh, they're on like a little pole or something every block?
Yep.
Because you guys don't have much rain out there, so it's probably not going to get destroyed by the weather.
Exactly. Yeah. It rains like three times a year.
Now, do you guys live out there because of the, how long have you actually lived in Vegas?
I've lived here, about 11 years now.
Oh, okay. For quite a while.
Yeah.
What brought you out there? Was it UFC or something else?
Yeah, well, it was to cover the UFC. So my first job outside of New York City, I was offered to move to Las Vegas and come cover the sport of mixed martial arts, but specifically the UFC. And so it was before the UFC had the TV deal. So we kind of did a pre and post show for pay-per-views that the UFC sponsored. So I moved out here for that. And I gave myself a year because, you know, my whole family's East Coasters, and I was like, well, we'll see how it goes. And then I moved out and I never left because it's the best place to live, honestly.
Who was your first fighter interview?
My very first, I think, might have been Frankie Edgar, but like the first one in Vegas that I remember going to a place to actually interview was Randy Couture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's a good, you always want to get, I think mine might have been Liddell.
Oh.
Rogan brought a couple of guys on, I don't remember who, onto the radio show. Probably around 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think they were Ultimate Fighter guys. I just don't remember. It's been so many years.
Yeah, it was just love at first interview, I guess. I just fell in love with the sport and everything that was involved. So yeah, and then once you get to Vegas and you can get through a summer, you can get through anything. Like, it's a great place to live and the heat is not that bad once you live through it once.
You know what's so nice? Not that I'm bringing up my wife again, but next week is our 15-year wedding anniversary, right? So we're going to be in Vegas because by chance they want me to do something where it's, I don't think it's a surprise I can talk about. It's the guys and girls, Juliana Pena, that won the Ultimate Fighter and they won the title. So we're going to have like a sit down round table thing with
amazing.
That. So we're doing that. So I go, hey, look, let me tell you, you guys want me out there. Let's bring the wife and we'll make it my celebration, you know, for the wedding anniversary. So, so that's, that works out great, man. So I don't know, you're talking about Vegas. We love it out there. We do.
It's the best. Great food city, underrated food city. That's the thing that people don't realize. It's not just a strip for eating. Oh, our Chinatown's amazing.
Seafood scares me though, because the one time I got food poisoning there, I mean, it gets many, many years ago, but it was, I ate like a crab roll or something, which, you know, you're in a desert. It was probably not the smartest thing to order. There's no ocean.
I mean,
it was a bad steakhouses though. The best steakhouses I would say I've ever
honestly,
been.
Honestly, we go out for sushi like once a week here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It gets flown in every day. So
okay.
I feel like it's not a, I think it also depends on where you're going. Right. And the type of restaurant.
Do you go into hotels or do you go to restaurants outside?
No, we don't usually go to the strip. I mean, we were on the strip yesterday. We went to a music festival, but we don't traditionally go down there unless someone's visiting or we have to actually go for work.
All right. Well, it looks like our first guest is here. Andre Petroski is here.
Yo, what are they doing over at that Daniel Gracie Academy that they're just beating everybody?
It's crazy. I'm sure the stat is correct. It's 14-0 with 9 finishes in the UFC. Incredible.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
There he is. Oh, that's a fucking Spartan beard if I ever saw it. You will front kick somebody down a fucking well tomorrow with that thing on. That is awesome. Look at that, Jimmy. That's awesome. You could probably help taking a punch with that thing.
It's cushioned.
Hey, man, congratulations, bro. That was phenomenal.
Thank you.
Phenomenal, man. And first of all, even more phenomenal when it's for, I mean, that Nick Maximoff, I was watching him like, man, this guy is looking well-rounded. I love the jiu-jitsu. And knowing that you're coming from my buddy, Daniel Gracie's Academy, I go, this is going to be a fucking grapple fest. And then it ended before it began with that fucking anaconda. That's your move, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn. I mean, when I seen that thing go on, I go, all right, this ain't the first time he got this. Fucking, his head looked like it was going to snap off.
Yeah, that's my move, man. I actually learned like that whole sequence. I have like a whole sequence that I do. I learned from Henner on the show. On the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, shit.
He's
really?
Got a whole sequence. He goes from guillotine to anaconda to D'Arce.
And you were the biggest underdog on the card. And doesn't it just to show you like that no matter how much people know about fights and know about betting, it none of that really matters. Like everybody is wrong most of the time when it comes to picking fights.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I was like, I was kind of shocked. But if you're looking at like from a betting standpoint, that does kind of happen. Like sometimes a lot of guys will get hype behind them and they'll be big favorites. I don't know.
At the end of the day, you can't get too caught up with that favorite shit. I mean, you're locked in a cage and it's a fucking fist fight. So you can be like, oh, wow, look at the odds. What does that mean? You're still locked in there with that guy. He's got to deal with you.
Yeah. Anyone that knows me would agree. I'm too stupid to believe that shit anyway.
You didn't look surprised when you got that anaconda.
Nah, that's my position. I'm telling you, I've been working that whole sequence ever since the Ultimate Fighter.
Let me ask you what's going on at that. We were just talking about it as you were coming in. You're doing something right over with at the Daniel Gracie Academy with that crew. I mean, 14-0. What is, I mean, I know we could chalk it up, hard work and all that good stuff. But what's going on over there?
I think Daniel specifically is very good. Where I see him differently as far as like the Gracie goes is his jiu-jitsu translates to MMA very well. He's like more, it's more wrestling-based jiu-jitsu, positional-based jiu-jitsu, and he's very good at like incorporating the ground and pound with the jiu-jitsu.
Talking about your jiu-jitsu, I mean, I was actually surprised by the call out afterwards of another great jiu-jitsu practitioner, Gerald Merschart. What made you call him out?
So I didn't like that he came out and said, you know, I want the easiest fights for the most amount of money. When I read that, I was just like, oh, like, I don't know. That's a bad look. Like, that's like a bully, you know? You just want to fight the easiest guys. Like, I don't know. I don't like bullies.
Was it, let me ask you though, do you think that he's just being really honest with the emotions of it? Like, do you think in a perfect world, everybody, I mean, you guys will fight anybody they put in front of you, but do you think in a perfect world, if every fighter at the end of it will go, yeah, I would love to take the easiest fight for the most money, like that, wouldn't that be the ideal situation?
I think that is, there's more to fighting than money. I think that at least from, I'll speak from my experience, like the legacy is more important, to be honest. Not that a dude shouldn't be able to fight and make money and feed his family. I totally understand that. But yeah, to me, like, I, you know what I mean? My legacy is more important.
I mean, I totally respect that. And not to, and I, he might have said that. I didn't read Gerald said to say that. And I hear you, man. That was, that could kind of, if you're a real, when you're a fighter, that could kind of rub you wrong. But to his credit, the dude does fight anybody. He put comms out and, you know, then it goes away, but the guy does step up and he's always in a fun fight. That would be a phenomenal fight to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got like 50 fights. So like, obviously he's been in there with some of the best guys for sure.
And I enjoy his jiu-jitsu as well. So that, like, shit, man. So if he watches out for that anaconda, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, I've actually fought on cards with him before. My UFC debut in Vegas, he fought, the name's going to slip me, but he fought a dude and pulled off a submission. He was like the biggest underdog on the card and pulled off a submission. To be, as far as like watching him fight, like a couple of his fights, like I enjoyed, like I'm kind of like a fan of his style, but I, even back then I was like, yo, I want to fight that dude. Like anyone that's really got like, it's really good grappling. Like I just, you know what I mean? I always want to test my grappling. I want to see how like it compares to the best guys.
Was it Deron Wynn? When was that?
It was on the finale, the Ultimate Fighter finale card.
Where's Deron Wynn been, man? I love it. That guy fights 185 is my height. I love it.
Yeah,
oh my God, I think I might be taller. The guy's in there fighting guys like 6 foot something.
Yeah, he don't fight that much.
Hey, Andre, so how did you get started? For people that don't know, that didn't see you on the Ultimate Fighter or anything, how'd you get started?
So I wrestled my whole life. My dad was, ran a karate gym and had some boxing. He wrestled at Penn State. So I kind of grew up, we just kind of watched it a lot, but I was always wrestling. I wrestled in college. I went to the University of North Carolina, wrestled for Kerry Colott. And then when wrestling was over, I just started going to this jiu-jitsu school and I just immediately fell in love. I love jiu-jitsu. I wouldn't say my first love, but I really did fall in love with it and became obsessed with it. And then there was a guy at my gym that had a fight. He was getting ready for a fight. And I was like, yo, how do you get a fight? He's like, just message this guy. So I messaged the guy. It was actually my coach now, Jonathan Webb. And he matched me up. And then I went to an MMA gym. At the time I would do no gi in the morning and then gi at night. And I just trained all day. Like, I had like 2 months left of school, so I wasn't really doing anything else besides I was obsessed with it. So then I took the fight and then I went to an MMA gym and I started actually like learning more like striking and stuff like that.
Is this Philly? You grew up in Philly?
Yeah.
We talked to somebody else from Philly recently. It's amazing how many great fighters, boxers, MMA guys come out of that city. That city really breeds really good fighters. And I'm not sure why. Did you fight a lot growing up in school?
Yeah, I got kicked out of a couple schools. Oh, okay.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's also a great wrestling community there.
Pennsylvania and New Jersey is like prime for high school wrestling. We have some of the best wrestlers coming out of our states for sure.
Do you still watch NCAAs or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I still wrestle. I was training at Rutgers with their team a lot. They got like Miles Martin, couple other tough kids up there. But I would go up there once, at least every other week, and just wrestle, just strictly wrestle. Because this was the first wrestler that I had prepared for. And it was good to get back to some of those roots.
For sure.
What is the process when you're training and you say, you know what, I want to go to Rutgers and train with some of the wrestlers? What do you do? Do you reach out to the school, or do you have somebody do it? How does that work?
So when I was at UNC, one of my teammates, his name was Kyle Kiss. He's the coach. He's one of the assistant coaches at Rutgers now. So he had reached out to me previously and was like, hey, like, you know, we got to get you in the room. Come up here and get some wrestling in. So then a couple months later, when I was like, yo, I'm fighting a wrestler, he's like, come on up. You know, so, you know, shout out to them. Jeff Buxton, Goodale. There's some good there. They were super welcoming to me.
And could you feel Maximov go out? Did you feel him go out when you were choking him?
I had the anaconda and, you know, he didn't really, if you look at the breakdown, I saw someone else did a breakdown, but he didn't really defend it right. Like, he was circling into me. He was running his feet into me. He wasn't trying to like post on the hips or like create space. But at one point he did start grabbing at my hands to try to break the lock. And he like grabbed my hand. I felt him grab my hand. And that's when I kind of squeezed tighter. And then he just like let go of my hand. And that's when I knew that he had gone out. And I said it like three times. I was like, yo, he's out. He's out. And then they finally stopped it.
Wow, it's vicious. Let me ask you, as a jiu-jitsu guy, and you love jiu-jitsu so much like myself, what do you think of the new, you know, innovation with the leg locks? Not everything which is old is new, I understand. But, you know, the latest craze with the leg lock. What do you think about that and in MMA? I could point to cases where Ryan Hall, Gary Tonin, even though he got caught, but they both got caught, but they both also executed high-level Ashigarami attacks in MMA. What do you think about that in MMA and in general?
I love leg locks. I think, like, it's a very interesting, you know, part of jiu-jitsu that you can spend a lot of time, like, growing in, for sure. I don't love it in jiu-jitsu just for the fact that you see these guys and that's all they want, and then they're boot scooting, and it's just destroying, like, watching the sport of jiu-jitsu. Because the guy's just sitting in half guard and he's not like, once he doesn't get it the first or second time, he just continues to go for it rather than like, all right, like, let's try something different. Because I'm like, you see, it's the same thing with the Craig Jones, Sean Brady match. Like, Craig sat in half guard waiting for an opportunity rather than like, all right, like, this isn't working. Let's do something different.
What does boot scooting mean? I never heard that term.
Like, pulling guard, sitting to his ass, and like not engaging as far as like trying to come up on top. Like, that's not realistic to a fight. You know what I mean?
Picture like a doggy cleaning his butt. Don't think you should be doing that. Get that out of your head.
So Matt, I got to tell you something. So I have this wrestling coach and he was like, do you want to be like the world champion, blah, blah, blah. And I was always like, you know, like, that sounds cool and all, but like, I would much rather be like the guy that like knocks off the world champion, the guy that comes out as the huge underdog and goes down, beats the world champion. And I always bring up your name. I was like, beat GSP, like, I was like, dude, that's like the shit. Like, I want to do like the underdog. I want to shock the world type shit. Hey, being the fucking world champion, there's a lot of stress. Like, you got the target on your back the whole time.
100%. I tell you, I'm way better as being the underdog, taking the guy off the throne, then fucking running the shit on the throne. I'm like,
when I saw the odds came out and I was plus 300, I was like, let's fucking go. This kid's going to be feeling pressure.
You did this the other night. You were the biggest underdog on that card. So you did the same thing the other night, bro. Man, he was undefeated, that kid. You gave me the first loss. That's big, bro. That is big. That's step up, man.
Thank you, brother. It means a lot.
Did you know about like the Diaz connection? Like, did you care about that at all?
Of course. I mean, I don't want to talk shit, but if I want to learn how to fight, I'm not going there. That's for sure. I mean, they're tough and their style works like, I don't know, I wouldn't even say it works, but it works for them. But I don't know. I don't think technically that's, am I wrong? Am I saying anything wrong here?
No, I mean,
it's not your style. I can't picture you fighting like Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz, but I can't picture them fighting like you either. It's who you are. So it's not a bad thing at all. You know what I mean? But you're in a perfect, being, you know, with your grappling background, to be with Daniel Gracie. And I like what you said before about his jiu-jitsu there. the positional based with the ground and pound, like what you were talking about with the leg locks. I can't watch you. I don't like jiu-jitsu competitions, and I love jiu-jitsu. It's my life. And I'm thinking, I'm like, why do I not like it as much? Because in the past, even though jiu-jitsu has never been more effective, and these leg locks, dude, they're fucking awesome. They are awesome when used correctly. But I'm like, before it used to be guys used to fight for position. Now guys are avoiding good positions like mount for MMA, which is phenomenal. I want my guys to get a superior. If you're not getting a submission, you get that. You get a mount, a devastating mount. Get back. Keep improving your position. Guys don't want to get mount anymore because on bond, if they make a little bit of space, especially no gi, they're on your legs.
Yeah.
So guys are avoiding the mount.
Yeah.
But then you don't get that Hicks and Gracie or Aljo Sterling type mount within. You know, because they're not used to keeping it because they're not achieving it. I don't know. Now I'm ranting about
it. No, I agree. So I was the same way. I never wanted mount. I would always rather have side control and work for a crucifix. Mm-hmm. And even from the back, I didn't want to throw my hooks in. I wanted to stay in turtle and ground and pound for turtle.
That's a wrestling thing. That's it.
Yeah, 100%. And then when I was on Ultimate Fighter, Henner, you know, traditional jiu-jitsu background was like, no, we're going to start working on this mount position. Like, you don't want to abandon mount for the rest of your career. Let's start working it out. And I actually have been spending more time from there. And like once in a while, I still get a guy that's real wiry that can throw his legs over. But overall, like mount, I totally understand. Like if you're winning a fight, the last thing you want to do is get swept from mount and end up on your back and end up on bottom. But If you are good there, like you can finish fights or mount 100%.
Now, is this apply to MMA as much, or because of the ground and pound in MMA, you're not going to have that as much as in pure jiu-jitsu?
No, 100%. In MMA, mount is still, like you can see like the Khabib finish on Gaethje where the mounted triangle. You don't get better than that. That's checkmate right there. There's a lot. Yeah. Mount, a full mount is definitely has its perks for sure.
Because if there is no submissions, that's the ultimate place to strike. Because even if it does get something back at you, there's nothing on it. You got gravity behind you.
And yeah.
Again, you can go back and I could point out many.
If
many
you're
fights.
Not looking for the finish right away, you can take a guy's energy and his will from mount, like in a much shorter than you could from guard.
Oh, 100%.
I think it's so cool that you took so much from the Ultimate Fighter. We don't always hear contestants on the show talk about the coaching staffs in that way. And you've mentioned it a couple of times, what you experienced there and how it benefited you. And I just think that's really great that you had that type of stay on the show because not everyone does.
Yeah, I was really lucky. So for one, I don't really cut like a lot of weight. Well, this one was a little bit more, but on the show, my weight was really good. One. And two, the scenario was Brian circled us up and was like, who wants to fight first? And I was like one of the only ones that raised my hand. So he let me pick who I wanted to fight. I fought first week and I had all that time off in between. So the whole, and I was healthy. So that whole time in between, everyone else is cutting weight or they're hurt or they're getting ready for fight. And every day Henner would come in and be like, hey, who wants to work? And I got to get on the treadmill. I got to cut weight. Oh, I'm hurt, blah, blah, blah. So every day it was just me and him. He would give me like 2-hour seminars, 2-hour privates every day. I was just working jiu-jitsu with Henner. It was like, I can't tell you, like, and I was like, how much would this cost? Like, it was like thousands of dollars I would have had to have spent to get that type of work with Henner Gracie. And he's like very traditional based. And I'm like very wrestling positional based. He's traditional jiu-jitsu, but his coaching style was like, he's so enthusiastic. I always say he's the perfect guy for that Shark Tank.
Oh, he was great on that when he did his sweatshirt thing.
And there's very few people. Look, I'm like at ADD as it gets. Like, there's very few people that can keep my attention for like an hour and a half to teach me jiu-jitsu for an hour and a half straight, and he's one of them.
Yeah. No, I always like anything he's doing. I always like his breakdowns and
he's
very like energetic.
You know, it's not like you, honestly.
Yeah, a more sane version of me. Yes.
Not as good looking, but
yeah.
And before you started fighting and actually knowing you were going to make a living at, where did you think you were going to wind up, or what did you plan on doing?
Dude, I mean, I love, like, I could do blue collar work. Like, I love that shit. I love being around like labor work. I genuinely enjoy that, especially if we're outside. But I never had a plan B, to be honest with you. I've been doing this literally, like I haven't taken a year off of competing since I was 4 years old. Like, no bullshit. I've never taken a year off. Like, I've been in this shit for so long. It's all I know.
There's something good about that, I feel. Because I never had a net either. I've never had a plan B for circumstances that were whatever. Like, you know, I mean, so it's like, it gives you a different type of drive. It's like, yo, I have to make this shit work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, yes, like, I do know, like, no matter what happens, like, I'll be good. Like, I can fucking work. I was born on the fucking 30-yard line. Like, I know that. Like, I can talk. I can work. I work my ass off. Like, I'll be successful no matter what I do. You know what I mean? So I'll always be okay. But this was always like the dream. You know what I mean? This is, I prayed for to live the life that I live today. Like, so many times. Like, I spent so much time praying for this life I have right now.
Yeah, it's weird. Not leaving a safety net is really important in a way, because everybody wants to quit sometimes. There's always things with my job where I'm like, I just wanted to get out. But then I'm like, oh, wait, you didn't graduate high school. You got nothing. Like, so it is that sometimes the thing that makes people quit or stay is sometimes when you're like, this is the only option. I have to stay. And I think that probably keeps people when they want to leave, they can't.
Yeah, I mean, fighting for sure. And competition, I'll say, in general, fills like a significant void for me that I don't like. I don't really know any other way to fill, to be honest.
Yeah, Jimmy was fucking comic, male gigolo. He was like, yeah. And then he goes, I'm going to go comic.
Yeah, but then I realized when I'm a gigolo, people laugh.
I can see the male gigolo, honestly.
Thank you.
He saw that Rob Snyder movie back in the day, and it gave him weird ideas.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Listen, Andre, we got our next guest is waiting for us, but really good talking to you, man. That was a great fight and a really, really impressive win. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of you, and we'll definitely talk to you again if you wish to come back.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, buddy, take care. Great talking to you.
Daniel, I said hello.
I will.
I love that Daniel Gracie, dude.
Yeah.
Daniel Gracie, I'm 47 now, 23 years old, gringo off in the airport at fucking Rio de Janeiro. Fuck, he picked me up. I'd never met him before. He's Henzo's cousin, big dude, sweetheart. I was nobody. I had no name. I didn't do anything. He was a purple belt. Took me back and forth to the academy.
Aww.
Sweetheart of a guy. I'm friends with him to this day.
Nice.
So that's how you know a guy's a good person. He had nothing to gain from taking care of me out there, you know?
Shows his character.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mercedes, there's a rumor that you train some jiu-jitsu. Is that true?
That's true.
That's what I'm talking about. I like you already. But how long have you been training jiu-jitsu?
So actually started like mixed martial arts in general and I would say like 2010. And I met Jay Glazer, I would say, in the offseason. Well, actually, it was right before I went to the Pro Bowl. And he happened to be in Hawaii with Chuck Liddell. My first experience of walking in a dojo and doing all of that was with Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture. And this is in 2010. So they were both still kind of getting after it, still working out.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then I started training jiu-jitsu, I would say, in 2015, 16 with John Lewis.
John Lewis, another old school guy, John Lewis. Yeah. That's a pioneer.
Yeah.
He fought. Carlson Gracie Jr. in an event that I don't even know what it was called. Extreme Fighting, I believe it was called. Yeah. Back in like, I'm talking like 94 or 95 or something. This is some old school stuff. And John Lewis used to let me use his place. He had a jiu-jitsu school. It was Lewis and Pettidaris. And it was he used to let me use that to warm up for fights when I was in Vegas. That's crazy that you've been in this a while.
Yeah, so I mean, it's something that, you know, people always ask me, like, obviously, when they see me train or they come in and watch me asking me about if I do, like, fights and stuff like that, I always tell them, like, obviously, you know, I'm going into my 17th year in the NFL, so if it was a situation where, you know, I only played 2 years, I only played 3 years, and really give it the attention that it needed, actually develop and, like, really put my mind there, then I probably would have did it. But I mean, I'm 17 years in. I do it for, you know, to stay in amazing shape. I do it for, you know, because I love the challenge, and it's something that allows me to compete with what I'm capable of.
You're in a team sport, and is there something about, like, in a team sport, it's you and eight other guys or whatever, but this is something you can just kind of win or lose on your own?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and just like you were saying, Matt was saying, the jiu-jitsu part of it is, you know, the reason why I love that, because there's always an answer, right? And you know exactly where you went wrong. You know, it's like, it's just a little different as far as the competition part of it. You know, obviously, football is the ultimate team sport, and it's something that I've been doing since I was 7. And so obviously, I love that aspect of it, but being able to compete with what, you know, I'm able to do in that given moment is what turned me onto it.
Do you have a belt in jiu-jitsu or?
No. So I literally, you know, because it was 4 months out of every off season, I would be here and I would go back. I just hadn't had the time to really sink my teeth in it. And then right before COVID, you know, I got my D. You know, that's something that I'm probably going to focus on when I retire here in a couple of years, and, you know, just go ahead and get after it, man.
But you can, for the love of it.
When you're watching the fights, you've done enough jiu-jitsu where you're recognizing all the positions.
And— oh, yeah. Like, no, obviously, when I'm with my friends, you know, they're the casual fans that are like, man, why are they, like, laying on each other? Why? And I'm just explaining, like, yo, he's trying to get to mount, or he's passing, or he's trying to get to side mount. I'm just explaining this whole thing. But, like, when I watch it now, I get it.
Did you ever mess around with them and actually go, come here, roll with me, and you ever tap any of them out or anything?
No, not tap any of them out. I've rolled with Cormier before.
How is that? How is it rolling with Cormier?
It's different. Rolling with Cormier is like, I mean, he doesn't have like a neck like that. You know
what I mean? On the choke.
It was just, it's hard. It's hard to like choke him, but it was just a fun experience. And, you know, obviously rolling around with John Lewis has just been a dope experience. And you don't realize how, like, yeah, you can be a big guy. Like, I'm 6'6", 270 pounds, right? And John Lewis is, I don't know, maybe 5'10", like 180 maybe. But the strength is different. It's breathing, you know, how strong you are from your fingertips to your elbows. Like, it is, it's a different type of energy, and something that I've, you know, grown to love doing.
Have you been able to get any of your teammates throughout your tenure in the NFL, which, by the way, 17 years is insane, but have you been able to get any of them to join you in the gym or do some of these workouts or even just at least become MMA fans?
You know what? I've definitely got them to become MMA fans. I don't think that they'll step into that the dark side. I think, you know, they're happy just watching it from afar. I know me and Aaron Rodgers, you know, whenever we're in a hotel on Saturdays, we normally watch the fights together. And he's a really big fan. And, you know, he understands it too. And I kind of like talk about the technical side whenever he asks the questions. But, you know, it's been really cool being able to, you know, I've been going to fights, I would say, since like 2010. And, you know, Amber over there, you know, she helps me.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's like, basically, you know, I have 2 tickets on the floor unless I'm not going to be able to make it. So, you know, I was able to get in there at a time where, you know, I met Lorenzo Fertitta back then. And, You know, actually worked with his son because his son was playing football. So, you know, it's just been a dope experience and something that I've been into for a very long time. And yeah.
Every time we get the celebrity list before an event, we find out who's coming, and your name, I feel like, is on it 80% of the time, which I just think it's amazing.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
What would you say is the best? Because I've been to a bunch of fights. I haven't been in a couple of years. But can you? What is the most memorable moment you've had watching fights? I think for me, it was Silva's leg against Wyman. That is probably the one that was a bad memory, but it still stood out as the, probably the most prominent.
I would say Jose Aldo, the 13-second knockout versus McGregor. I think obviously at that period of time, I mean, Jose hadn't lost in what 10 or had the belt for 10 years or something like that. And just the lead up to that fight, I felt like, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, they made a date and then an injury happened, so it got pushed back. But that allowed Conor to build up so much more and momentum as far as, you know, when they were touring and did that whole thing, you know, Conor is like a master, like, throwing a fight. So that just gave him more time to get under Aldo's skin. And I think once that fight started, it was just so much energy that Aldo wanted to get out. And he rushed the process, and that kind of ended that. And I feel like if he had a chance to do it over, I don't think he would have approached it that way and kind of took his time.
I flew out for that fight. So, yeah, I remember that 13 seconds. It went very quickly. And I think, am I wrong? Did Jose do something weird in the weigh-ins for that fight? Because he's normally very quiet. He did something. He had made fun of his karate. Yeah. And I thought when he did that, I'm like, that's so out of character for him. Like, Conor is in his head. Conor is got him changing the way he approaches things.
Yeah, like, that's Conor's thing. You know, like, Jose is never like that. He's just stone cold, always looks the same. Seems like he always just has his energy in the right place. And I think, you know, once we saw that at the weigh-ins, I was like, oh God, like, here we go, you know?
Has anyone ever been in your head like that? Like, have you ever had somebody that you have to go up against time and time again, and they just, every time you do it, you're like, fuck, I got to deal with him again?
Not in a way to where I couldn't control my thoughts. I think, you know, that's a good question. Like, in football, obviously, it's team versus team, but I don't even look at the team we're playing. I look at what linebacker or what defensive end I'm going to be blocking that day, right? Because that's 60 minutes of, like, just, this is me and you. And it's the ultimate team sport, but you have to win your individual battle, give your team a chance. And, you know, obviously, going into my 17th year, I've been able to do that at a very high level. And it's just always try to minimize it as much as possible and make it smaller than what it really is. And I've been able to do that. So never in my head to where I'm, you know, keeping me up at night, but definitely a healthy fear knowing that, you know, I'm going to have to bring my hard hat tomorrow.
When you look at a career, like, you look at a guy like Greg Hardy, who I love it. And I thought it was great. He played football and then he comes out and he's, you know, he's a devastating puncher. And do you ever look at that and go, like, even though you love what you're doing, did you ever let yourself just daydream and go, fuck, that would have been nice too, to kind of split and have 50-50?
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying earlier, if it was something that, you know, I didn't want to do this really anymore, or, you know, I was bouncing around the league in year four and, you know, I can't find a team to stay on and I'm always on a bubble and I just want to take my interest elsewhere, then it would have been possibly something that I would have wanted to do. But, you know, I enjoy, you know, being very enthused about the sport, being able to train, meet a lot of the guys that I've met. Like, you know, I've met a lot of guys that are champions now before they were champions, you know, and it's cool to kind of have built that relationship. And, you know, we just, whether it's talking mental, the mindset before fights, it's the same for me during games. So we kind of share that conversation back and forth to get each other prepared.
I have this is kind of a weird question, but I like to ask bigger guys this because I like to ask our heavyweights this. Because you're 6'6", and, you know, you walk down the street and you know that, all right, well, I could punch any of these people and it'd be fine. If you were going to get into the octagon and you could be anyone from a flyweight or a strawweight all the way up, like, whose fighting style do you love to watch? And you're like, hey, if I was smaller, this would be so fun.
Oh my gosh. This is awesome.
That's a fun question.
I love Figueiredo.
Ooh.
I think his style, he's tough.
I'm a little salty over that answer, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, everybody. I'm only kidding. Nugget, that's funny.
He's just, cool. I think just his grit, you know, his grit. I think my favorite fighter has been Jose Aldo, though. You know, I mean, obviously he was in featherweight, but he was my favorite for 15 years. Even when he was WEC, you know, I mean, he was just a guy. That's a great question, but it's a hard question because I like being able to be like, okay, I like a little bit here and I like a little bit there.
Do you like Jose? Obviously, his demeanor is great. I wish that he hadn't gotten so far away from the kick. His kicking is probably what made me love him so much. I love guys that beat up legs. Him, Edson Barboza, just, you know, Gaethje when he's kicking legs. What was it about him that you liked? Was that something that you liked about him, or was there a style, or was it more of a personality thing?
It was the fact that he could stand in the pocket and trade and check kicks and return kicks and not blink. Like, he saw everything. This is when he was just walking dudes down. He doesn't have like a real bouncy style. It's just like, I'm walking forward inch by inch. I'm figuring out what my distance is. And then it's literally like left hook, right kick, jab, cross, left kick. Like, dude, like, kept being able to counter with, like, he was nasty when he was able to mix all of that in.
He's been looking nasty lately.
Yes.
So now I have a question for you. We've seen, we know it went 13 seconds with Conor the first time. But look, not for anything, a minute, two, couple minutes and change, whatever it was with Dustin Poirier and Conor the first match. And then look at how the next two fights went. How do you think a rematch between Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo goes?
I think if Jose Aldo has made friends with his demons, I think it's more of a chess match. I think, obviously, Conor, he's a master of distance. And I don't think he'll get into like one of those barn burners with him, because Jose does pack a punch. But I think a kick. I think Conor, that would be a really, really close fight. And it depends if it's a three-round fight or if it goes five rounds. If it's three rounds, I'm leaning more towards Jose. If it's five rounds, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's lost three. Conor's lost three out of four, though. And the one he won, which was Cowboy, I mean, it was he still won the fight, but it was the shoulder. It's also got to be hard to be as motivated when you have had the success. Financially, it's got to be hard after the Mayweather fight, and he sold a proper 12, I think. It's got to be difficult to make yourself get in the gym every day and cut weight and do all that shit. I think I would definitely take Jose in that fight.
I think he's addicted to the attention, though. I don't think he's going anywhere yet. I think he likes the attention.
I hope so. I love watching him fight. Who do you think he fights next? I'll say it again because everyone's sick of hearing it, but him against Gaethje is the fight that I really would like to see. Just stylistically, I would love to see those two fight. I don't know if that happens now, though.
Yeah, I would say either Gaethje or Chandler.
I was going to say Chandler. Very good. I like
what
that.
What about Tony? Do we think we see him against Tony?
I'd watch it, shit.
Like when Tony, before Tony had, you know, the losing streak, like I felt like Tony had so much positive momentum. And this is when, you know, obviously he was on the rise. He was cutting people up from the bottom. Like, he was doing his thing. It was either you're getting cut up from the bottom by Tony or Adars, or he's rolling out of that, and he's really whipping people. And I felt like that would have been a perfect time to do it. I don't know if that's the kind of fight that Conor comes back to, right? Like, you know, Tony's on the losing streak, but he's one of the GOATs, you know what I mean? Like, Tony is nasty. Gaethje, nasty. Like, I don't know if that's the type of fight that Conor comes back to.
And what weight? I think that's also important because he's looking huge. And I think 170 might be a better fit for him at this point in his physique.
Agreed. I know, what was it? Chandler said something about potentially going up to 170 if he wants to do that because he's tired of cutting weight too. I think that would be a fun fight. I think either that or the trilogy with Nate Diaz, but who knows what Nate is doing right now too.
And can I just say in Tony's on his behalf there, like, you know, people giving him a lot of shit because he got that foot to the face, which was devastating. But he was, he looked, hey, he was looking good in that first round.
He sure was.
He was tagging him. He made first contact. He made his nose nice and red, and he was looking good. He looked good that first round. So it's not like, you know, he went in there and he was just getting outclassed all around. And it's, you know, I'd like to see him again. It's not like I saw that fight and said, oh, my God, he better hang it up. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt like too much and get not put their lights put out too much. But I'll tell you right now, that first round showed me something.
I was sitting with Brian and his fiance. He was like right behind me. And Brian and I mean, we've known each other now for like 5 years from L.A. And so we were talking about the fights back and forth. And, you know, he was just talking to me about when Tony was just walking out, when he's walking out to the octagon, he just had different energy. He looked focused. He got in there and it just seemed like he had his swagger back at that moment. And, you know, like you were saying, in the beginning of that first round, he's touching him up. You know, footwork looked amazing. Like it was, I thought it was going to be one of those nights. So like once he touched him up a couple of times, I thought it was going to be one of those nights like where Chandler had to be like, okay, this is going to be one of them ones that, you know, I've watched Tony have in the past.
And that was Brian Ortega you were talking to?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, his girlfriend, is it girlfriend or fiance? I'm not trying to speed things up, but what is it?
I think they're engaged. Tracy Cortez. Okay.
All right. Then I'll say his fiance, Tracy Cortez. Let me tell you something. I just because you brought up Brian, I was so impressed with her ground and pound in her last fight. The girl's name escapes me who she fought. I'm sorry. I don't know if you know, Megan. I'm sorry to throw it at you.
I honestly forget everything goes out of my brain.
It was an early prelim, but I was just – because I was going over similar with one of my fighters, Dylan, the other day, where she was – this girl was going for nasty arm locks on bottom.
Melissa Gatto.
Yes, Melissa Gatto. And Tracy was ground and pounding, and then it looks like her arm's going to get caught, and she would pelvis posture up, get out of it, and then come back with vicious ground and bound. It's just been in my head, and I thought it was brilliant. So I don't know. That's just my ADD kicking in, but what a good fight that was.
Yeah, it was a really good fight. And it just surprised me because I felt like the girl she was fighting was like maybe a naturally bigger girl. And when she was going for those submissions and then she like picked her up, I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. This is the type of fight this is going to be.
Yeah,
so it definitely surprised me as well.
What was your favorite fight on that card?
Charles Oliveira, man. And mind you, like, just his aura, I don't know what it is about him. It looks like he just knows something that we don't. And you're talking about a guy that, you know, the scale situation, got booed, took his some of his purse, the belt, didn't get the belt. He and fighting the enemy territory. He went out there and just, this is it. This is my moment. And the way he did that, and people are talking about, you know, obviously with the submissions and all of that stuff, he got there with these. That fight, he got there with these. Like, that was the way he was able to take the back. He's just so technical with his hands, and he goes forward with that lead leg, and he's just nasty.
What do you think they do, Matt? What do you think they do with the lightweight belt? Because Oliveira is kind of indicating he wants to wait. So, like, which I think is not a good move if he doesn't need to wait. Do they, Makhachev against Chandler, what do they do in the meantime? I don't think they're going to wait until November. I think they fight somebody before. If it's not going to be Oliveira, who are they going to put to fight for the belt?
Very interesting. I mean, what do you guys think? Who's right there? It's
Makhachev against Oliveira, I think, would be the next logical fight.
That's the obvious fight to me.
But I'm saying if Charles doesn't want to fight, what do they do?
I mean, do they do Dariush? Do they do Dariush and Makhachev for the interim and then bring Oliveira back to unify it?
I don't think there'd be why would there be a reason to
there get is no interim. Is there gonna be an interim belt or a regular belt?
There's a reason for that shit. Why would
belt's
that
be vacated?
Oh, what am I saying? Yeah, the belt is vacated. What am I saying?
So that's why I was saying he should defend it, because if he doesn't, they might put
He should fight for the belt next fight. So there should be. I think Charles was saying that Bernil and Islam should fight, and then he'll fight the winner. That's what he's saying. What I like about Islam versus Charles Oliveira is the difference is now what you were just talking about. Mercedes was correct. This did get him the title and had him reclaim the title. It was a striking, but the difference between his fight with Dustin Poirier and him, and the difference between his fight with Justin Gaethje and his jiu-jitsu. Because they both, Dustin and Justin, twice, both hurt him. Hurt him to the point where he had to go to his back. He was over. So they hurt him more standing up. So what was the difference? They're not following him down because they're scared to death. They can't do, they don't have that same luxury. If Justin, when he gets on wobbly legs, he can't go to his back and say, all right, no, because then Justin, Charles will follow him down and submit him. So he's not doing that. The second he got hurt, safety mechanism. I'm on my back. Let me get my wits. It happened in his last how many fights? So it enables him to hang in there longer. And those guys don't have that luxury, man. So I just love that. So even though the striking got him there, the jiu-jitsu just saves his ass, both defensively and obviously offensively.
I have a question for you. Do you think that Makhachev rocks him like that or gets him in those situations where he feels like he has to pull guard?
This is the thing with Islam. Islam is 100% taking him down. These Sambo guys, they are so, they have shirts that are coming on. Oh, if Sambo was easy, it'd be jiu-jitsu. I personally hate that. I hate those. I love Habib and I love Islam. I hate those fucking shirts. Somebody comes into my academy with that shirt, it's like the Warriors when they go down the wrong neighborhood. Get the fuck out. I don't like it.
Wow.
But I'm a jiu-jitsu man. But Islam, that's how much they take pride in that. In other words, I'm going to take you down. Everybody's scared of your jiu-jitsu. He's going to S on your jiu-jitsu and he's going to meet him in the guard. He's going to look to beat him up. He's going to look to pass his guard and mount him. Could he do it? Could he weather the storm that... Charles is so damn smooth on the floor. That's the fight. Like Jimmy always talks about Conor versus Justin Gaethje. My dream fight is the one we're talking about right here. Charles Oliveira versus Islam. That is just, that to me is amazing. Both on the feet, who's got the edge, on the floor, what's going to happen?
So what about this? So I know Charles got a lot of flack for saying that Makhachev needs to fight one more fight. So, you know, when you're the champion or in position, obviously he's a champion just without the belt right now, right? When you're in that position, isn't it about taking less damage and getting more money? And so when you want, he knows that, like, that's going to be the toughest fight. We know that. But as far as, like, on the money side of it, like, to the casual fan, nobody knows who Islam is, right? And so, like, the building up of that fight is, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like he thinks
you understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to fight somebody that's like in that top five to kind
of. It's true, but you got to think if this pay per view buys and he's got a part of that and all of Russia's getting that shit. I don't know, man. I think it might be pretty big. Islam, if he's fighting for the title, you know there's going to be a lot of people watching that.
We also like, it feels like a great main event for an Abu Dhabi pay per view. And when you have Khabib attached to Islam as his coach, and he, you know, every time Islam fights, I interview Khabib, and it's such a part of those fight weeks for him. I think that also can add to sort of how it's promoted and where it's promoted and everything. So I would agree with you, Mercedes. And I think that you totally understand everything that encompasses, you know, what it is to fight for a UFC title. But I think they can figure out a way, depending on location and just sort of those tie-ins, that maybe we see it. And they both seem to want to wait till the fall in Abu Dhabi. So I think that could be interesting, at least, but you'll be in season. So that would be a tough one to go to.
That would be a blockbuster fight, though. I definitely want to see that. I can't 100% tell you how that will go. You know, like who's nastier at their respective arts, right? Like, it's gonna start on the feet first, right? And like you said, Matt, he's gonna take him down, but it's just like, yeah, but are you really gonna control him? Like, do you think that if he fought Charles right now, he has enough experience as far as like the people who he's fought in the UFC to handle everything Charles has to offer?
Yes, he has. He's fought great fighters. I mean, he beat Drew Dober. He's looked really, and Bobby Green, but what Oliveira has done in his last five, I mean, the only decision he's had, I think, was Ferguson, and that was a very dominant fight. So, yeah, I think Oliveira definitely has fought a higher caliber of people. And maybe that's just because people don't want to deal with Islam Makhachev either. So maybe guys have avoided him, you know, unless they had to fight him.
That's a great point.
You know what? I could think of Dana's. This is. I haven't talked to Dana, but this would probably be his dream is for Charles Oliveira to beat Islam, and all of a sudden Habib comes out of retirement to avenge his teammate, and I don't know. I don't want to start any rumors.
Let the guy live. Let him live. Let him eat. Let him be happy. I hate that for him.
I don't like, listen, I don't want it for him either. But I'm just saying that would be, that is.
No, I want it for me. I'm a selfish fan. I want it for me. I want to see him fight Oliveira because I think that would be just an incredible fight.
Now, I want to see Islam. Islam first.
Like, what do you think Islam walks around at? Because when I watch him, he looks physically so much bigger than everybody that he's fighting. And I'm talking about from like just lean muscle, the size of his back. Like he's on guys. Like when he's on top and somebody's guard, you can't even see them from the bottom. Like it's weird. So when he's able to like slice through and get mount, and whether he's got like the like a triangle choke or whatever, you can't even see the guy getting choked. Like it looks ridiculous.
I want to see the grappling exchanges, just like there was a fight I was looking forward to and it delivered. And it was, it's a weird one to pick, but for me, it's not. Ben Askren versus Damian Maia. It might as well have been labeled jiu-jitsu versus wrestling. Because that's to me what it was. And it highlighted both their strengths, where you see Ben all of a sudden land some beautiful takedowns, highlighting the wrestling. And then when he gets there, you have Damian Maia doing leg lock reversals, umaplata reversals. Dude, I was just, I love that fight. I watch that fight and it makes me so giddy. So I would love to see the combat sambo versus the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I need to see that.
Yeah.
I that should be the next fight. I don't give a shit.
Everybody stays healthy, and who knows what's going to happen as far as like who's going to fight who next, but they stay healthy, they keep winning, and that's going to be one for the real fans right there.
Mercedes, thanks, man. You're a real fan. It's always nice to have guys on who like love the sport and aren't just, you know, casual fans, and I'm pretty sure I've seen you at a couple of events. Yeah. And we'll definitely talk to you again, and good luck this season.
Mercedes, if you're ever in New York, Long Island, New York specifically, man, you want to stop by my school, you let me know. We'll do some jiu-jitsu.
I would love to. So I met Chris Weidman in 2000. We walked in the same fashion show in New York in 2016. And we became really close. And then also Wonder Boy Tom too. Yeah, so, man, whenever I'm out there, I'll definitely look you up. I'll send you my information. I appreciate you guys having me. And Megan, love Benavidez too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Cody Garbrandt is a really good friend of mine. So
awesome.
Yeah, love you guys, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Hopefully I'll see you on the sidelines this season.
Definitely. Appreciate you.
I liked him a lot.
Real he is too. At so many fights and he's there early on, which that's how you know, right? Like the celebrity section doesn't really get full until the pay-per-view starts, but he's there early because he cares. He knows the fighters. He likes the fights. I just think that really shows who somebody is as a fan.
Well, first of all, you get people when you ask if they're fans, they go, yeah, I got into it when Conor McGregor came aboard. And now you get a guy like Mercedes bringing up pioneers like John Lewis. John Lewis, people might remember him by getting left hooked by Jens Pulver and getting knocked out. I prefer to bring up a fight with him versus Lowell Anderson. Now, Lowell Anderson is an old school, speaking of Henner Gracie, he used to be a Torrance Gracie black belt under Horion Gracie and them, and he used to fight challenge matches in that Torrance Academy. So there's some tapes of this guy. And then he got in the UFC and he fought John Lewis, who also knows jiu-jitsu. And, you know, you see levels where he was used to fighting guys that were coming in off the street to see if the jiu-jitsu worked. And then he's fighting John Lewis, who is a black belt in jiu-jitsu and knows the stand-up. So he couldn't get him down right away. And John Lewis got him in a tie clinch and just kneed the ever-loving shit out of him. And it was so awesome. And the reason why I like it is because one time that fucking guy, Lo Anderson, when I was teaching over at Hensel Gracie's Academy on 26th Street in Manhattan as a blue belt kid, I answered the phone and I remember this. I remember being a kid, watch that guy in the action, in those Gracie in action fights, whatever it is. So I was like, and he was looking for Craig Kukuk, who was whatever. He was from Torrance also. He was there with Henzo. And this just sticks out in my mind. And I remember answering the phone as like a kid and be like, he's like, yeah, this is Lowell, is Craig there. I go, Lowell, okay. And he was just like a prick on the phone. He was very douchey. I remember just being douchey. So I remember that stuck with me. So I'm glad that John Lewis need the fuck out of him. Anyway, guys, I just went off on a little rant.
That's all right.
But I like to give that John Lewis a little props. Pioneer. You guys are a pioneer. I'm back, guys.
That's all right.
I loved it.
And so, I'm so happy you're on. They voted right.
Yeah, they did.
You guys, Dean
Thomas would have showed up today, I would have fucking hung up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Dean Thomas.
Well, yeah, Megan, thank you for coming on today. And thank you to Mercedes Lewis, too. That was really, really nice talking to him. And I had never met him before. I think just a brief hello. And of course, Andrea Petrosky. What a fun episode this was.
We had such a big show today that I think we're going to review these fights, which we're going to review. We'll do it on next episode.
We'll do it on Wednesday.
I'll see you in a couple of days.
Of course. We'll talk the whole time in between.
Anybody, you guys want to plug
in? Megan, what do you want to promote?
Oh, God. You know, just listen to Becoming a Fighter. It's got its own feed now. We have several episodes out. I think you'll love them. And yeah, just keep watching fights and giving us a reason to go to work.
And you know what, Jimmy? I know you're going to plug your comedy stuff, but really quick, a couple of guys that were on the card the other night in Brooklyn that my wife fought on. Props to Aunt Sarah. I love you so much. Also, Jacob Martin, his little wrestling kid that's been with me. He's with me in Longo now. He had his first amateur fight. He did fucking phenomenal. He's a little – I like him because he's shorter than me, and he's fucking a tough little – Also, really quick, Zach Lowe and Del Alley Matthews, they're trained under my black belt, John Manimal. We call him Manimal, John Beneducci. But what a fucking – these two guys, he brought these guys up. They fought the other night. One lost. But they're nice kids. I like them. And that's it for me.
Yep.
Jimmy, I talk a lot, Megan.
I love it.
Yeah. That's what we should do on a podcast.
Oh, my shadow box. Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
I just go to my website. I got Jim Thorpe, PA. I got Delaware. I got Denver. I got New Jersey. And every Wednesday in June, I will be at the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York, working out my hour around the corner from the Comedy Cellar. So that's it. Thank you, Megan, very much.
Thank you guys so much. You're the best. I love you. And call me anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. You're always great having you.
See ya. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Matt.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.